Hey folks, Tyler from Being This Person here. This is an episode I did with a very dear friend of mine, Box. I've known for a number of years. We met in a festival world, kind of, but through a friend, kind of, but then developed a thing very much our own. Either way, you'll hear it. He's a really great person. I will tell you that there were some jokes that we talk about a little bit, but I removed them. They were off color. And although we can have that sense of humor in private amongst company that understands the safe place that we're coming from with them, it wasn't, in my opinion, appropriate for the air. So there's a little clip, but it's not a big deal. But we do talk about the jokes and the reasons for them for quite a while. I will say also this was the second one that was recorded while I was camping, and the last one, at least for this time, that was... But that means there's weather in the background. There's wind mostly and dogs and stuff, but there's always dogs and stuff. I would encourage you to listen to a few of these. They're all the same, all very different. I'd also really dig it if you like it, if you would tell a friend. That's our best way to advertise. Second best way is if you would subscribe, rate, and review on whatever podcast feed you get us through, be it iTunes or Stitcher or Castbox or who cares, whatever one, I don't care. And other than that, we've got an email address. It is being this person, all lowercase letters, @gmail.com. There's no spaces in any of that stuff. We also have a website, beingthisperson.com. And we do have a Twitter that I'm no longer banned from because apparently, as it turns out, when you put in the age of your podcast as your Twitter feed age, they don't like one-year-olds running a Twitter feed. So, yeah, I'm going to avoid all those jokes. But it's still funny. We do also now have a Facebook page. And because it's kind of run by me, there's a little bit more stuff than my other podcast one has. And on that token, folks, thank you for listening. Let's roll the theme music. So, not only first one ever done in the woods, but first question
out
is,
in the woods, up to no good, on the sheep molest.
Who are you?
Chris Boxrood.
I'm just going to call you Box, because I always have. Why change?
Yeah. I've had to convince people to call me Box.
Really?
Yeah.
Dude, it's so simple.
I graduated with Box at the Dolphin, because a Sarge just immediately kind of segued. There was easy. The people didn't even know me or didn't even know my first name.
Right. It was a couple years till I figured it out, honestly.
Yeah. Lowell, he slipped the other night and called me Chris, and I'm like, God, that sounds weird.
Yeah, who the fuck are you talking to?
It's like, Chris who? But then conversely, when he started working down at the Rialto, he's still calling me Box, and everybody's like, who? Because I went in through... Are the volumes good enough?
Yeah. Okay. I'll turn knobs once in a while. Just keep talking.
Okay, I needed to know if I needed to suck it in more.
No, you're perfect. I have knobs.
Okay.
This is a fancy gizmo, remember? it can record dog collar noises even in the woods.
Modern technology. but because I got in through Rialto via VersaTouch.
Oh, that was the ATMs or something like that you were working with?
Point of sales.
Okay. POS.
Basically.
Very well named, though, by the way.
A lot of people. The jokes.
I remember when we brought the first one, I was working for Nordstrom, when they brought their first POS system in. Because up until then, we literally hand-tagged everything.
Yeah.
And they started it in the women's department that I was working in. And POS was just the biggest giggles. Even back then, it was like late 80s, early 90s. Kind of.
Yeah, and with the point of, when I was doing the point of sale, I put up systems in for them. And invariably, somebody would be like, yeah, this is a piece of shit, POS at that, and they'd make those cracks. And it was getting to the point I wouldn't even do a polite laugh.
You heard it before.
You know I hear this every 2 weeks, right?
It's like the dumbass who interviews a writer or a comedian or a musician. Where do you get your material? Don't ask that fucking cheesy ass question. Let's move on.
Yeah, I think Ellison, he's and King a little bit. But Ellison, he was just getting some vicious answers. Just wish I could remember some of them.
Ellison who?
Harlan Ellison.
I'm not familiar.
Oh. You must read my favorite book.
Oh, what is it?
A Boy and His Dog.
Oh, I've heard of the book.
The movie's good. The book's better.
Well, maybe that's what I've heard of. Maybe that's why.
Probably.
I
recommend it. Yeah, it was the movie was Don Johnson.
So it was a piece of trite bullshit.
No, it was a good movie.
Don Johnson was in it. You can't say it's a good movie out loud. Come on, man.
It was 75.
God, what was he, 9?
I think he was probably around 19.
He hadn't started wearing blazers with the sleeves pulled up, pushed up yet.
No.
You know, this David Hogg is bringing that back in. Same look. Every time he's on camera, he's got the t-shirt and the blazer and the sleeves pushed up. And
oh, good God.
Oh, dude, seriously.
Well, I think probably enough people bashed his fashion sense about the white shirts with an armband, trying to ban things, and people are like,
All right, youngin. So there's this history about armbands?
Yeah.
We don't need to do that.
And then for his little friend, Gonzalez... The part I'm looking about, I keep making jokes about the cultural appropriation. Because I'm like, wait a minute, she's dressed exactly like a neo-Nazi skinhead.
Yeah.
It's with the bomber jacket and the patches.
Yeah, she's got the flight jacket.
Yeah.
The, yep.
And then I saw her one time, I think she even
had suspenders. You got red laces in those docks or black ones?
Yeah.
Like, seriously.
I was like, yeah, what color are those suspenders?
You guys don't read your history before you put on your clothes, please. Which is, that's kind of a fucked up place to be in America, right?
But not knowing history?
Well, not knowing history and the fact that we really should look at history even when making our clothing choices.
Yeah.
It's gotten pretty strange. I mean, you're wearing a pith helmet. Fucking cultural appropriation much?
No. Well.
Yeah? Huh? See?
Depends how far back you go.
I mean, I'm wearing a trucker hat. Is that cultural appropriation?
Nah, because truckers are usually white guys.
I am a white guy.
But with the pith helmet, it goes back far enough, but it's... before I put it on, I must know the history on this. And then I looked it up and then promptly forgot.
Well, at least you looked it up. I mean, you read the wiki page at least and you moved along.
Because I want to know the history on them, what they were supposed to be made out of, blah, blah, blah.
Weren't they wicker initially?
No, it's pith. There's actually
pith
a material called pith. Yeah, it's something like the pulp of a tree.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
We made it out of coconut husks or whatever.
Yeah, they do that and then cloth cover it. And the Brits were doing a lot of them. But yeah, different whitey coming out of Europe and different tropical places, we adopted them. So, God, what was it? Like, some of the common ones, there's the Brits. There's a French one that I saw. There is, of course, the German ones. In the Africa Corps. During World War II, they were actually wearing pith helmets in the desert.
I love that it has to be the German ones. But it kind of has to be.
Our nice little humanless things. I love it with that crack. You heard a bit about Robin Williams. He was talking to some German interviewer. And she's like, why do you think there isn't that many comedians in Germany or really funny comedians? Or why do you think there's not that many comedians in Germany? And he's looked at her just deadpan. It's like, well, because you killed all the funny people.
Well, yeah, and you've heard my running thing for years. It's I try and find, because I'm of German heritage, so I like off-color jokes.
Yeah.
So I try and collect off-color jokes about humans, or about Germans. There's not many of them, and my theory is that it's because anybody who makes a joke about the Germans, they kill.
Yeah.
Like, you joke, but we kill.
That was not funny. Schwa.
Yep, exactly. And so anybody who wrote a German joke, well, at least they're good at math.
Yeah.
I mean, ask Mercedes.
You.
They were able to count to 300 million or whatever, right? Assholes.
Speaking of Polish jokes, I've recently...
No, it's not going down a Polak joke roll. No, we can do this off mic.
Yeah, this isn't a Polak joke. Polish joke.
I'm not dating a Polak anymore, so I don't get to make the jokes anymore. It was okay when I had one in my world, but I don't have one in my world anymore.
Yeah, you do.
Oh, are you Polak?
That's what I was kind of get at instead of the jokes. Growing up, Dad used to make jokes about mom being a Polak. And this was the 70s, so for some reason, the Polish jokes were the high joke.
Well, for some reason, it might have something to do with World War II. That's where it came from. Like, all the Polish are stupid jokes are based in the, they just let the Germans wander into the country thinking they were going to take it over. And that's why people make the jokes about Polish people being
okay,
dumb.
Yeah,
that's why it happened.
Okay.
In my historical understanding.
Okay.
It's probably imperfect. That dog is going to tie around my tent. Oh, well.
But, I've been trying to figure out if it's that or something going on after post-war. Anyway. So I asked Mom. Dad's side, yeah, Norwegian. No question. Just look at the pictures.
Yeah, because I always identify with you and your Scandinavian background. Yeah.
It's always easy to keep that straight, but as a kid, Dad would make Polish jokes, call Mom a Polak. I got mine fixed. So I'm hitting, and of course, I caught being a little self-conscious because all the Polish jokes were going on and I'm a little kid. Am I minority?
But we didn't know better.
So I asked Mom, and she gave me the story of, and this is what actually is German-Polish on their side. It's a mix of the two.
I'm Volga Deutsch, Russian German. Yeah.
The best one was Mom's maiden name was Gracky. I met a dancer whose mom was from East Germany.
Like dancer.
Yeah, the girl was the mom.
Exotic dancer. Yeah. Dancer. Yeah. Just because I know your history.
Did I say stripper or dancer?
No, you didn't say peeler, and that's why I was unclear.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, come on, use your proper Heinlein terminology here.
I asked her mom. It's like, okay, Gracky, is that Polish or a German name? Oh, back to the... getting scrambled. Asked Mom.
Gracky's a German. Gracky is German.
Wait for the punchline.
Okay.
Get back with Mom. Asked her. She said, no, we're German. We come from an area that's been contested. It's like, bah, go figure. Even as a kid, I'm like... So I just go with German because it was easier. Years later, I hit up the peeler, her mom, German. It's like, okay, Gracky, is that a Polish or German name? She tells me it's a Polish name. I was like, oh, okay. Flash forward a couple more years, when I'm working VersaTouch, somebody had a Polish woman that was their bookkeeper. I asked her, hey, is Gracky a Polish name or a German name? And she's like, oh, it's German. Nobody wants us. also, my aunt recently was making comments about Kroll, which is great-grandma.
K with an H in it somewhere?
K-R-O-L-L.
Oh. That's a bad guy in Star Trek, right? That was a joke.
Yeah, no, I'm working.
It's not too far away.
I'm like, I think so.
Not a perfectly...
No, Kroll is actually a Polish name, I found out.
Really?
Kroll is Polish, but the other name that sounded more Polish was actually German. Now I can't remember what the name was. But it was just, yeah. It's on
It'll come to you, like, as soon as we press the stop button, probably. Yeah. I can edit it in later. Make us sound smarter than we are.
I'll remember in August when I'm back there. It's like, what was that name you said?
Yeah, right. Well, give me a text. Mm-hmm. I'm awake. I'll answer.
Yeah. Oh, okay, good. Yeah, I got to make that comment on tape.
Oh, yeah, it's all fucking recorded, man.
My crack about going back to Minnesota in August.
Yeah. This is a long trip you're taking where you're going to go across the country and stop at all, go see the giant string ball and that kind of thing.
And I'm making a pilgrimage to the shores of Lake Minnewaska where I was spawned.
Which I love. It's so Prince to me, though. It's like you got to bathe in the waters of Lake Minnetonka and Apollonia 6 gets naked. And
yeah. But yeah, when I lost my uncle. His relatives were out, and some of mine came out. But I was making the cracks about, yeah, out here I can say born on the shores of Lake Minnewaska. And I
you mean came out to the west as opposed to came out of the closet, just to clarify.
Yes.
Again, we have to be aware of our fucking terminology in America nowadays.
Everything is so... Yeah, I've had to read... My favorite term was like, hey, that trumps this. Oh, shit, I got to change that
word. Yeah, I can't trump anything more. Like, you can't even play hearts. Yeah. Not without some bad political jokes now.
But yeah, these people, I was like, yeah, I tell people out here I was born on the shores of Lake Minnewaska, and it sounds all hardcore. You guys look at me and go, oh, you're from Glenwood.
So good. God. All right, whatever. Oh, shit, I had... This is why I take notes, and I didn't write it down. Fuck. Oh, I do remember what it was. You said, and we all say frequently, when I lost my uncle, is what you said. And I've been thinking about that word a lot lately. Like, why do we say we lost the person when they pass? Do you have any...
It's a euphemism. It's because of our culture we clean up death so much. It's when it's easier to say we lost somebody and people know the euphemism instead of just coming out bluntly and saying he died. There's something...
There's rougher corners on the words he died.
Yes. Rougher corners, and it's part of, I think, in our culture that we've gotten so Disneyfied.
Nice word. Fuck yeah. Disneyfied all day.
It's like that... One of the reasons I think there's so many vegetarians is they watch too many Disney movies as kids because they empathize with the animals too much. And that's not a bash. It just is what it
also,
is.
Also, I think that people... Well, there is a lot of science that people chase for vegetarianism.
Yes.
But... And that's both in the saving the planet and the saving themselves sides, which I'm not going to argue with. But I also think that people don't have to butcher their own animals. And so the detachment is there.
That's exactly
so
kind of where
it
I was
easier.
Leaning that way.
Yeah, it makes it easier because... And it's a common question. How many people do you know would be vegetarians if they had to kill their own meat?
Yeah.
And my answer is most of the people I see in the grocery store would be vegetarians. Yeah.
Vegetarian. Indian.
Native American. Yeah, Native American word. We got to deliver the whole joke because in case the listener doesn't know it. But yeah, Native American word for fucking bad hunter.
Yep.
Vegetarian.
But, that's it. And this meme that I saw floating by the other day, don't know if it's real or not. I hope it was just a joke troll. But it was somebody going off about hunters. And how can they do that? That's so cruel. Why can't they just get the meat like everybody else from the grocery store where they make it right there?
Oh, yeah.
And that kind of attitude. I don't know if it's like that's a real meme or real
idiots.
It's a real meme, but it's a real...
I've heard people say things like that, though.
Yeah.
Like, not those exact words, but very similar things. Like, why can't you just go to the grocery store instead of killing something? Like,
Do you realize they mass-killed things
to put it in the grocery store?
Yeah, if anything, me hunting is a little more ethical than having farmed out to some of those... Ooh, the California happy cows lined up to slaughter.
Well, that's... That's one of the big things that changed Rogan. Joe Rogan?
Okay.
He's a very well-known hunter, and it's kind of controversial because he actually does a really good job of running middle of the road and accepting both sides of most policies and politics. But he got tired of the food system that we were working with and decided that he was either going to stop eating meat or start hunting.
Yeah.
And he did. He actually, there's a really well-known, he has a podcast, a bow hunter named Cam Haynes that lives in Eugene, well, just outside Eugene, that is very good friends with Rogan, and they go hunting together, and Rogan approached him, and, I mean, like, this guy runs ultra marathons, like 200-mile marathons. He's one of those people.
Yeah. So he could chase down this.
Somehow he does that while working for the power company in Eugene, which might explain some of our fucking power problems, but... all respect to the guy, actually.
Yeah, all respect, but yeah.
I do work with him in a... Yeah, I do work with him in a work situation, like a professional situation. So, but yeah, all respect to the guy. He seems like good. But I like that Rogan did that. And people are a little up in arms. There's some controversy by him openly talking about how he runs out and kills an animal and brings it home. But at the same time, like, man, he didn't go to the grocery store.
Yeah.
And he carried 300 or 400 pounds of animal out of woods. and handled it all himself.
On the morality level, okay, we've evolved to be omnivores. I know there's a scientific argument both ways. But if you're making a choice to eat meat, it's actually more ethical to the animal, I think. It's like, okay, animal's had its nice little life. He's been bopping around, living his happy little deer life. And then all of a sudden, some asshole hops out from behind a bush and bang, thump. As opposed to you look at the industrialized
meat factories. I would like to go that way. I mean, short of just dispersing, anything is really quick and relatively painless.
Yeah.
And if that means that I'm in that movie, The Game, remember that movie with Ice-T and shit? Where they get some gutter guy and make him run through the woods, okay. And then a bunch of white guys hunt him or whatever. Dumb, rich white
guys.
There's
been so many variations.
Yeah. But if it ended up
there's
that...
There's even on Dollhouse.
That wouldn't even... Yeah, well. The fun part of this is that Ice-T did kill Rutger Hauer at the end of the movie, but...
Ooh, nice.
Yeah.
Did he give a cool speech?
Too many years. I couldn't tell you.
Attack ships on fire off the shore, off the shoulder of Orion.
Off the coast, off the beach of what?
No, it's
Minnowatso.
Oh, I have seen attack canoes on fire off the shores of Lake Minnewaska.
There we go. Oh, shit, that may be it. Shores of Minnewaska. Shit. So the next question is. We've talked about who you are a little bit, and a lot of other stuff, but that definitely helps define who you are. But why?
Why do I have a sense of humor?
No, why are you who you are? Well, yeah, I guess. Why do you have a sense of humor is part of that.
Let's talk about heredity versus environment.
I'm good with that.
I'm just joking. The only comment I'm going to make about that on that level... Then we'll get back to me. But no, back in college in the 90s, everybody's looking at, and this just annoyed the hell out of me.
College in the 90s, we're so fucking old.
Yeah. But yeah, sitting in school, and the argument about, is it heredity versus environment? Nature versus nurture?
That's what we called it in the old days, yeah.
Common damn sense that it's a mixture. There is some things you can't deny, personality-wise, gets passed down through gender.
That's part of it.
Through, genes, heredity. But a lot of it is your environment, and with the scientific community at the time, they're trying to do this hard line. It's one or the other. No, it's a friggin' mix. I'm a dumbass undergrad. I'm sitting there going, no, asshole.
And any philosophy or psychology major will agree with you.
Yeah.
But the common person may still be arguing for the black and white line.
Yeah. But back then, in class, teachers were trying to draw this hard line.
It was bipartisan, just like our fucking political
everything.
System.
Yeah. Nothing can be gray. Get him.
No, I think it's Walter with dementia. Come on over here, handsome.
Hey, Walter.
Yeah, get some water and some shade, big guy. any listener is used to not just my dogs, but I go to other people's houses and their dogs. And there's a great one I did with a friend, which is, it'll be out before this one is, but you can hear in the mic. And she is a 200-pound dog. It's
nice.
Like part Irish wolfhound and something. It's like...
Part dire poodle?
It's this fucking big. It's Hagrid's dog. But it's like sitting next to my face being super friendly and just breathing into the microphone. It's so
nice.
He actually hit the microphone with his face at one point in the house. Yeah. He goes clunk and I laugh out loud about, oh shit, the dog just hit the microphone. All right, well, call back for any listeners.
I thought about getting this standard poodle just so I could walk around and call her a dire poodle.
Well, my mother did just get another poodle and traditionally...
Standard?
Yeah.
Right on.
And traditionally, she gets animals and... it's happened to my whole family. Like, if you get an animal and name it, that's all wonderful. I'm probably going to call it something else, which I do with my own dogs. Like, you know me and my dogs. I don't call my dogs by their given names very often. Like,
and
I got Buster and Handsome. Yeah. And so the same thing happens with all the rest of them. Like, my sister had a poodle, a little toy poodle named Nicholas. Mm-hmm. No, I called him Butch his whole life. He wore a mohawk. Butch fit way better. And so my mother has learned that when she gets a new animal, she has to ask me what the name's going to be. And she'll, like, send me a whole list. Well, she's named the dog Legend. And I haven't I've met him in person one time. I'm going to go spend a handful of days with him here next month. And we're going to find out if he has a real name other than Legend. Yep. And it might be Dire. Dire circumstances, as it were. It's awful early for me to come up with something that good. Oh, shit. Oh, I love when I laugh at my own jokes. I love when I can get them out before I start laughing about them.
Well, if I start giggling before I get it out, you know it's good.
Yeah, right? And I'm probably not going to be able to deliver, though. It's going to be ruined because I'm going to forget exactly. Joke falls flat because I'm laughing at myself. All right, so a little bit more about why you are who you are. I mean, historically, your parents, your military service time, those kind of things. I think I'm positive. I mean, you got a fucking military tattoo on your shoulder right now.
Yeah, I've still got it. I feel weird doing it, but I still got to go get sabers put on it.
Go get what?
Calf sabers. I've been out for this long, and I've wanted to always do
Was that just your,
No, I just pulled it out of my ass.
Oh, really?
It's actually...
It's not like a symbol, because like the Alpha Raiders got the skull and the little stars thing.
No, it was the 80s, like hardcore. It started with just the skull. And then I think there's one picture of that. And then I had the spade put around it, because just the skull looked kind of dumb there. So I got the spade put around it, and then...
These spades, yeah.
Yeah. Nod to Motorhead.
Yeah.
Because, well, one buddy of mine... like, how many Motorhead...
Prior to Motorhead, nod to guys dropping cards on people in Vietnam.
Yeah. It was a little of both.
Yeah. Which is kind of sickening, but... You know,
this will be recorded for posterity. The Seek and Destroy, it was misspelled. Was.
What did they spell it? Like, Seek with a turban?
How did I spell it? Because I'm sitting there, and the guy's like, okay, write it out. Seek and Destroy, Destroy. I'm like, that doesn't look right.
Destroy?
D-I-S.
Oh, shit.
And I'm looking at it going, that doesn't look right. Does that look right to you? And the guy's like, yeah.
Oh, shit. So you just had the extra line drawn in?
I'm sporting. It's like, yeah, if you look, the spacing's kind of fucked up on the...
Yeah, the kerning is weird. The kerning is weird.
I went in, and that's why he had me spell it. I'm like, hey, man,
Yeah, because then it's on you. Like, if you misspell the girl's name when I tattoo it on your arm, whatever, that's on you.
Yeah, and I went in, and was like, yeah, somebody finally pointed it out after 2 days, and me going, ha-ha. He pulled out a dictionary, I'm like, son of a bitch. Went back, it's like, hey, we misspelled the tattoo. Who misspelled it? I did. Can you fucking fix it? Mm-hmm. He's like, yeah, let it heal. Come back in about a week.
Here's a tenner. Draw a line, bitch.
Yeah. But, God, me, how I ended up like me. Combination of my parents. I definitely have their sense of humor. Got dad's black Norwegian pessimism.
Black Norwegian? You want
to... Oh, just the whole...
You know, the Norwegian... Black as in dark?
Yes.
Okay.
One time, Mom looked at us. We were bitching about something. Can't you two ever be positive? Dad and I were just like in court, just boom. We couldn't have planned it better. We are positive. We're positive it's going to be fucked.
I frequently say I totally trust other human beings to fuck shit right up. And yeah, so I totally trust people to not make the right decision. And that's kind of unfortunate. I
still tend to like individuals. I'll trust individuals, but as soon as the group starts getting bigger, there's like a critical mass.
There you go.
Once it becomes a mob, that's when
mob
starts getting dumb.
There's a word for it.
Yeah.
And
committee.
And I oh God, your best way to get nothing done.
an elephant is a donkey built to committee specs.
I think God put a committee together when he made the platypus.
No, I think that's like God made weed early.
Like this team was voting for a bill. This person was voting for a fucking... They have death claws. Did you know platypus have poison claws?
Yes.
Like they have some spiky claw thing on their hind leg.
Yeah, their dew claws.
Yeah.
It's not a direct poison, because I was like, no goddamn way. God couldn't have been that vicious.
No, it's like a fucking neurotoxin, though.
Is it a
I think so.
I thought it was just... It's more of a... Almost like the Vietnamese punji spikes. They had the dew claw, and it's like they kind of wipe it on their ass
And jab you?
Yeah, but I think it's some
sort
of bacteria.
I think it actually secretes something.
Really?
I do think it actually secretes a poison. I could be incorrect.
We'll have to look that one up.
I've never seen a platypus in real life.
Neither one of us.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. The other thing I learned that I think about animals that cracks me the fuck up is there's a huge populace of koalas. who have chlamydia. It's that kind of funny, right? And, like, the Australian government has gone to great lengths to start curing the chlamydia in the koalas. Because every fucking dumb American wants to go pet a fucking koala and call it a bear, first of all. Second of all, they need to not... Because they get feisty, those guys, once in a while, koalas.
Australia, you can't make this shit up.
It's, you know, I'm starting to think it may be the greatest country in the world, better than us. I mean, I've been a huge fan of America for a lot of years, but I think Australia has a lot of shit nailed down.
They do, unfortunately.
Everything wants to kill you, and can.
Yeah. Unfortunately, right now, I'm kind of putting the blinders on. I used to live in Australia, now I've kind of got... just because the crap going on with 43 right now.
43?
IP-43, the...
Oh, God. Fucking gun legislation.
It's like, oh, look at us. I'm just pissed off at Australia because everybody points at Australia and I put the blinders on. I know it's not right.
Well, it kind of works. I mean, in Australia, it kind of works.
They just had a mass shooting.
Yes. Unfortunately. God. Man, the number of times that mass shootings have come up while doing this with people is sickening.
It's in our consciousness, and I can put on the tinfoil hat. Here, let me wrap this in tinfoil and...
Go for it.
I'll give a...
Go for it.
This shit's getting bad enough now. I've tried. I used to be a lot more into the conspiracy theories. Shit anymore. It's gotten too goddamn convenient. And the timing on so much of this crap that I'm fighting it, but I cannot go back to think that this is some agent provocateur shit, some deep state, whoever.
Tiawiki.
Illuminati.
Yeah.
But it's almost like, yeah, provocateur is doing this shit, that it isn't just random. That is pushing a political agenda and trying to disarm America. To bring us in with the one world government, blah, blah, blah. All that kind of shit.
I try not New to World Order.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the March of Socialism and blah, blah, blah. And then, I'm trying to live a happy life, so I'm trying not to go down those roads. But it's just almost like they're waving flags at me now, and I'm like... I know I've been watching maybe the wrong movies. Maybe
they're making the wrong movies.
Yeah.
You're watching what's available.
Yeah.
They're priming us with this nationalism and stuff that we're... Like, go ahead. Make another fucking Captain America movie.
Yeah.
I don't think we need that. And, all right.
Actually,
let's make that cool. What's the bad guy, the Australian bad guy, the Captain Boomerang or whatever he is? Let's find a more racist way to do this. secondly... Let's quit inundating our society with that kind of thought process. Can we maybe just start getting along a little?
Yeah.
And the answer is no. I unfortunately understand that part.
I understand xenophobia to a level. But right now, it's a lot of people, the thing I'm seeing, everybody screaming racist this, racist that. A lot of that is just a tool to alienate and divide us even more.
Don't look at us two white guys talking about racism.
Exactly. But I think a lot of it is, it's part, man, some racism, but it's more cultural. That's where the differences are.
It is.
And it's like, a friend of mine, this is awesome, another political topic now, is the cultural appropriation.
We already touched it. Yeah, let's keep going.
Yeah, she really likes Thai food. Somebody asked her about this Thai restaurant, and she's like, I cannot confirm nor deny.
I like or do not like.
Yeah.
Have been or have not been.
Yeah, I cannot confirm or deny. And you're like, why? Well, if I say I like the Thai food, then I'm culturally appropriating. If I say I don't like it, I'm being a racist.
Yeah. God, such a hard thing.
Yeah.
I don't know how we as a society are going to get over it.
No.
I know how I as an individual get over it, and it's just...
I just live my life.
Yeah, I'm just colorblind.
Yeah.
And it's colorblind in the way that I'm just living me and you're just living you.
Yes.
And that's the way I think it should be. I don't give a fuck what clothes you wear, anything, you know, what kind of hat you put on.
Okay, the guys that have their pants down below their ass.
That's just not knowing how to dress your fucking self.
Yeah, that's a warning thing for me that, I look at it as a visual warning, like, oh, all of your opinions are now invalid. I don't have to talk to you.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Your culture has adopted something that came from the fact they took your belt away from you when you went to jail.
Yeah. Or you're waving your ass to go, hey, I'm open for being a bottom.
And that's where that comes from, which is absolutely disgusting to me. But many of the people that wear their pants like that don't fucking know that. Like, their granddaddy got out of jail and just never put his belt back on, and that was his symbol of being out of jail, was that he just didn't put a belt on. Yeah. And you're doing that as a fashion choice?
Perpetuating it, like, ooh, because you're hardcore.
That's fucking awful.
Yeah.
And
then going the other way, I just love this little side story about when Rob Halford came out of the closet.
Rob Halford? Oh, yeah, okay, never mind. I just did caught up. I don't think he needed to come out of the closet. He was a fucking leather daddy all the way along.
Right, where's it going? And this
maybe it's just me.
This is an interview. Somebody asked him about coming out of the closet, and he's like, I really wasn't in it. Did you see the way I was dressing?
Yeah, right? Like, I got hot pants on, motherfucker.
I love that. He got a generation of pissed-off, suburban, homophobic white boys dressing like leather fags.
Screaming at operatic levels.
And these same homophobic white boys.
Dude, like, he really like, pulled one over on middle-class American culture. It was awesome.
And we come out, they're just kind of like, it's okay, he still rocks.
I'm not a huge Judas Priest fan, but I'm a huge Rob Halford fan because that shit is awesome.
Yeah, I liked Priest back in the day, and that's one of them. I've kind of go back and revisiting some of the stuff that I really loved. Priest is okay. Not as much as I used to like him. The one that hurt was when I went back and listened to Saxon. I used to love Saxon. And now I'm like, that's just Saxon. It's more of the 70s style metal. But there
some more Deep Purple kind of thing?
Yeah. There were some of that early British
Deep
new
Purple
wave
and
heavy
Rainbow
metal.
And those kind of
even like kind of post that. But yeah, they were part of the British new wave of heavy metal.
Yeah.
And it's good stuff, but it's a little slower. Because me, I went straight into Motorhead and...
It's not actually, slower. Like, I mean, Lemmy did a couple lines of crank in his life. Just a couple.
And I was just watching an interview. He never stopped.
No, he didn't. He did it right up till his death, which I kind of admire. I mean...
Yeah, and the way he did it, he's like, I don't recommend this to anybody, and he'd kind of keep his mouth shut about it as he got older, because he lost too many friends.
Well, and G.G. Allin, same kind of thing. Like, I'm not quitting. This is who I am. Yeah. And... I mean, I struggle with addiction things, too. And being able to claim some of them.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's right or wrong, but at least you took the power.
Yeah.
At least you took the power.
Yeah, for hardcore addictions, I got lucky.
Yeah, you did.
I got two.
Yeah, they're both in your hands. A cup of coffee and the fucking cigarette. Mm-hmm. Yeah. As we Zippo lighter through this episode. Yeah.
But the way I was going through my 20s, and I started petering out in my 30s. But, Mom thought I was an alcoholic. Shit, she thought Dad was an alcoholic until when he retired. They got down to Madras. She jumped his shit about something. He's like, fine, fuck you, watch this. Boom.
He stopped?
He just stopped cold turkey. He just...
Wow. And it just kind of proved to win an argument, though.
And it was...
Fine, if drinking is a problem...
Yeah, and it was like...
Now I've removed drinking, you must be the problem.
Not even that. It was just, I think, just in the box we'd line, and we thought Grandpa was. Mom was worried about me.
Did your parents divorce?
No.
They were married until both of them died?
40 years, yeah. Okay. And it's like, and even after that...
That's really unusual.
Yeah. And to top it off, it's, Mom, how come there's only 6 months between your anniversary and my birthday? They got married because... Because
they can't do math as well as the Germans.
No, actually, yeah, Mom's got the German in her. Dad was... He was a draftsman, and yeah, he was just awesome with math. it was a case of, hey, Dave, guess what? Got to get married. And they made it last 40 years. There were some rough spots in the 70s. But yeah, they made it 40 years. And then he, after losing her... It ruined him.
How old was he when she died?
He was...
I know that your dad means the world to you.
Both of them.
And I've heard not as much talk about your mother, and maybe it's because she's been gone longer.
Gone longer, and that hit me just as hard. It's that, like, with the Gemini thing. Because that's, today's the anniversary of losing my mom.
Today? Right now?
Yeah. That's why
Be silent for a second.
Okay. That's why with some of the Geminis, where I'd show up a day late or was doing all that, because I was doing a little sabbatical for Mom.
Gemini's a festival we went to, for those who don't know.
But yeah, I'd do a little sabbatical. I'd go sit by a creek that in a spot that I would hang out when I was a kid. I don't think she ever set foot on, but it was a place I could get to. But I'd do that, and as time's gone on. But yeah, I think you haven't heard as much about Mom. Well, one, younger and kind of bottling it, and usually when we're, and also when we get going. No, I'm not going to be a downer. We're like, grr!
Yeah. And I do that, too. I steer away from the not-fun topics, because we're out here to have a good time, kind of thing,
And it's, I'd usually, like last night, when everybody went to bed, I kind of did my little thing.
I built that place right there for moments, if you need one.
For me, I kind of like it's the trailer thing, too, now, for me, for other reasons.
Well, it's Dad's trailer. Nope. You still haven't put the green stripe on the truck.
No, I'm not doing. It's what I was talking earlier. I'm going to do a dark green on the top that matches those darker spots. I'm going to do that on top. And
the piece that I told Tony to rip off your camper?
Yeah. And go look at it. It's like, yeah, go ahead, try. Try and do that without tools.
First word Tyler speaks in the morning is, rip that shit right off.
No shit, where are we going with Mom? But yeah, I was close to both of them. Because only child.
You're really lucky that way, though.
Yeah. Oh, that's what I was going about, kind of wrecking Dad. He was 76 when we lost him. That was 2 years ago. And that was 9 years. He was 65-ish. I'm going to have to really pull the fingers out to do the math on that one to get the exact number, but yeah.
Mid-60s. There's a thing that has happened on this that you count by number of limbs. Mm-hmm. How many years ago? Like, a particular friend and nice. Like I said, there's subtitles. One of them is, we are three limbs deep. Like, we've known each other this many years.
My favorite for bashing people was like, oh, I already get that job. Well, he's smart enough. He can count to 11 without looking down his pants.
Right? I love that one, too. So, what makes you unique?
I'm referring to just the way my parents brought me up. I've definitely got the only child in me. Reasonably bright, started reading early, read a lot.
Yeah, clearly. You're very well read. Which doesn't show. Like, if somebody saw you on the street, they wouldn't go, oh, that's a well-read guy.
No.
I mean, for instance, he's got a fucking military tattoo and a bullet hanging around his neck. But you are better read than most people I know.
And a St. Christopher medal, and...
Oh, St. Christopher, please come home.
And an Elgis.
Oh, of course. The Scandinavian history. Got a ruin.
I'm covering my bets. But yeah, everything, the nature, just the personality that I inherited / learned from the parents, smaller town, grew up in I consider the Dalles home.
The Dalles is a small town in Oregon. You can Google map it, whatever.
Yeah. It's right smack in the middle of the Columbia, you look in Oregon, right smack in the middle.
I just occasionally throw in things because people all over the world can listen to this. Yeah. They may not, well, except for China and North Korea and a couple of places. They're certainly not letting this shit in, nor are they sneaking it on USB hard or drives because I'm not cool enough. Episodes of Friends, yes, they'll sneak that in. Episodes of this, no.
But yeah, grew up in a smaller town in the 70s, 80s, the pop culture, everything.
How much pop culture was in that small town? Because I did some small town time, and I came from Denver, which most people know Denver. Big fucking city, directly into a city with a population of like 2,400 people.
Which one?
Turner. Okay. Turner is just south of Salem.
Okay.
I mean, it's just south of Salem. And I didn't fit because the small town didn't afford the ability. I mean, yeah, I could go down to the grocery store and rent Beverly Hills Cop, but that didn't allow the... It wasn't enough to make the pop culture happen. There's still a small town culture.
You could rent movies?
Oh, dude. Yeah.
It's just that little age gap in us.
Well, I rented Beverly Hills Cop like 9 times. Not many movies.
But even that difference, it's when I was probably the same age, some of the rich folks in town, they had VCRs. And that was back when a VCR was like $3,000 yeah. in
and you
70s
paid,
money.
You paid $80 for the cassette yeah. you put in it. Yeah.
So, yeah, it's high school. VCRs started to become the more commonplace. But, yeah, we'd go, movies in the Dells. Oh, sideline. I was visiting an uncle or visiting relatives in Minnesota in 79. I stayed with an aunt back there for all summer and bounced around.
God, quit saying years. You make me feel so old. Go ahead.
Yeah. But my uncle was all bragging, yeah, we got cable. And me from the small town in Oregon going, yeah, if you...
I got an extension cord, too.
No, because growing up there, there was no rebroadcasters. If you didn't have cable, you weren't watching TV. We got a Zion there.
Okay.
Walter's there.
And Noah's towed up. We're good.
Yeah.
We're good.
But, yeah, it's like, of course you got cable. You got a TV, don't you? We bought cable. We had to pay for cable, and we got 5 channels.
Did you have one of those little clickers with little, like, buttons and a little switch up and down? And like, it was tan and
eventually,
super...
Okay. It was like the other.
It's like almost as
like
big as this table.
It was like back in the days when cable was a shared antenna. And the little prong thing plugged into the back of the TV. It was basically a big shared antenna, is what cable was then. And then, ooh, HBO. And that was the big thing. And it was a big beige box with a switch. And all it was the descrambler. You turn to channel 3 and go click.
Yeah. Oh, God.
And before that, yeah, we're trying to watch the dirty movies with. We're scrambled. Everything was backwards.
I had this thing when I was young and we had those cable boxes.
Yeah.
I had this vision, because I had a friend who had a VHS mm-hmm. player, I didn't have one, that at some point in time they would just, like, we'd have a subscription service mm-hmm. and they'd mail us videotapes of the TV shows we wanted to watch. And we should watch them without commercials. Like, and I talked about, like, this is what TV's going to be eventually. And, all right, so maybe my tech was a little off, but it's fucking Netflix.
Yeah.
That was my Nostradamus moment, and I wasted it on fucking media.
Yeah. Yeah, got down to Matters. I'm digging through some stuff, found some old homemade VHSs, and it was a couple Christmases back in the day. And in one of them, Matt was making a comment that, yeah, we're going to look back at this in about 20 years, and that's about what it was. When I'm watching it, I'm like, no. And she's like, yeah, we're going to be looking back at this in 20 years and laugh. If tapes are even around, it's going to be on some shiny disc or some... She'd rattle something like that off, and I was just like, whoop.
All right, we'll start with a shiny disc the size of a record, and then we'll go down.
Yeah.
I was thrift shopping records the other day, and they had all the fucking... Laserdisc mixed in. I was like, oh, great, the soundtrack to Hunt for... Oh, no, that is Hunt for Red October.
Oh, little side brag for pop culture crap. I've got the original theatrical cut of Star Wars in digital format that Lucas never released. Except in one case.
What you talking about, Willis?
The original theatrical cut, hand shot first, without no special editions, none of this, none of that.
Holy shit.
It's the original that was on the Laserdisc, the big fuckers. Somebody ripped that, uploaded to the internet. I downloaded it, it's in DVD format now.
I did not know this existed.
Cut. It technically doesn't. I also have a copy of the Star Wars Holiday Special.
All right, so do you have the Little Mermaid thing with the cock on the front?
Doesn't everybody?
Yeah, it's next to my Bernstein bears. Shit. Oh. All right, so...
No, I just went to Jessica Rabbit flashing us.
Oh, God, please. All day long. Ladies, best Halloween costume ever, just saying.
Nudge, nudge, wink, wink. A wink's as good as an audio blind cat.
Hey? Here we go. Tony doesn't get that joke. We know that Tony doesn't watch up.
Yeah.
He doesn't watch Monty Python. Know what I mean? Know what I mean?
Your wife a goa?
Know what I mean? Does she go?
Is she into photography? Know what I mean? Nudge, nudge, wink, wink.
Oh, yeah, exactly. We're back to why we are who we are.
Yeah, there we go. It's the media influenced us. Watching, yeah, Gallagher and some of those comedians.
Oh, fucking Gallagher.
Do you remember the Buddy Hackett HBO special back in the day?
Buddy Hackey?
Hackett?
Hackey?
Sure.
Hackey jokes.
Okay.
It is a hackey joke. Okay. That one circle.
Yeah. But hey, he was just filthy when we saw that one. God, he was funnier than hell. And it was like, that's that dude from the Disney movies. What the hell? Right. But yeah, watching that kind of stuff, funny, figured out, humor, keeps people entertained.
Makes situations easier to deal with.
Judgments, like the military thing, I dicked around, got out of high school, dicked around with, took a year off, dicked around with college.
Gap year before we had a word for it?
Yeah. And then I'm like, screw it, I'm going in the damn Army. Because even as a kid, that's my camouflage thing now, that stems from when I was a kid. I've always had a fascination with camouflage.
There's this thing going on with wearing camo now.
I was looking one time when I was working downtown.
Like, apparently it's becoming not okay. Do you know that?
Uh-uh.
There's... Because so many... ill-driven humans
mm-hmm.
are running into places and doing
nice
not
euphemism.
Good things. I'm just like I try and use decent words.
I do.
I still call Oriental and it's not just a rug. Yeah. Like I'm trying.
I'm just trying to figure out why that's wrong. That's when it gets a politically correct level.
Yeah,
they're making stuff up now.
You know what? I don't understand, but I'm still willing to respect their desire for me to use a different word.
And of course
I'm willing to respect that desire. And
is it their desire?
They said it out loud, so I know what else to hand it to.
Asians have said that?
Asian culture apparently doesn't like... It's still like I'm not supposed to say Mexican. I'm supposed to say Central American.
Huachican.
I'm Hispanic. Or I'm supposed to that Latino and Latina are male and female delineations. And, like... And I do. Luckily, I do. But
yeah.
That's expected of all people, and that I don't think all people have the wherewithal to pull together. But
I live in a town that still has, for the Asian section in the grocery store, still says Oriental on top.
Oh, my God. Really?
Yeah.
Small town America.
They also charge you, that store also charges you $12 for a bag of Tully's.
A bag of what?
Tully's coffee that I usually like.
Oh.
$12 friggin' bucks. Winco, it's...
I pay 10.5, but I get Cafe Mom. It's fucking great. If you can get Cafe Mom, A, it's great coffee.
Mm-hmm.
But B, it is an organization that has gone down to Central America.
Fair trade?
Yeah, it's straight up fair trade. And they've literally turned part of that country around by giving them fair pay, fair American pay in Central America. Fair USA America
nice.
Pay in Central America. And so, like, families are farming coffee and feeding a huge
village.
Family.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And so I support it in all the ways. And you know, actually, another moment of silence for Dahinda, the guy who... I know Dahinda, but he's one who went down to Central America and started establishing and saw the opportunity to change people's lives through the availability of their resources and the desire somewhere else and facilitated a lot of that. He was a brilliant man. He was interesting, but he was a brilliant man.
Cool.
All right, so... we're 50 minutes in, so we should try this next question, because we aren't there yet.
Okay, so I won't do the Archer line.
No, totally do your Archer line. I don't watch Archer, so I won't get it, but that's fine.
Oh, one with Krieger, if you know the character. Like,
which character?
Krieger. He's kind of a mad scientist type dude, but he's cleaning up a body one time, and he's like, I'm going to need two pots of coffee, just like I like my women. Black, bitter, and preferably free trade.
All right, don't know the character, agree with the sentiment.
Highly recommend the show. It is funnier than hell.
Oh. I've tried. It just didn't take.
Core thing about what makes me, if I'm amused, I enjoy it. I'm here to enjoy life. Short run. Keep yourself amused.
I'm here to enjoy life, period.
Yeah.
That was a good moment. Thank you.
Yeah.
So, will you tell me about a defining moment? And this thing has a pause button.
Yeah, I know. Whatever. And you can also edit the big pause out.
I generally don't. I like letting people hang on the edge.
Define God.
Let me pause it, because I'm going to go get a cocktail anyhow. Okay?
Okay.
Yeah, like I said, I haven't seen Solo. Oh, but we're back.
Okay.
But yeah, I haven't seen Solo.
Yeah, I haven't either yet. I've heard it's decent, but that's from a friend of mine. And
but it's not making up for... They got a lot of penance to pay for Jar Jar.
Yes.
That's all I got to say.
And just a mutual friend of ours, her line was they took the greatest movie villain of all time.
As soon as I figure out how to do this through Skype, doing one with her.
Yeah. Her line was, they took the greatest movie villain of all time and turned him pussy pink in 30 seconds.
Shout out, Luann, by the way. Yeah, I know you listen.
And also, yeah, another friend, I saw it with him. We walked out, and his quote was, there is no way that whining little bitch is Darth Vader.
Oh, fucking right. Well, to some extent, however, with that whiny little bitch, you understand the new little whiny bitch. Like, seriously? All the Star Wars bad guys are whiny bitches now?
Yeah.
But whatever.
And that's like, we could throw out a spoiler alert, but for The Force Awakens. Yes, I don't like what they did with... When I first saw it, I was like, yeah, it was okay. It's not as... again, the bars have set so damn low with the prequel trilogy.
Yeah, I go in expecting to hate it.
It's okay. And then just, I don't like what they did with Luke. That was like bullshit, and apparently Mark Hamill hates it too.
He's not a real fan, yeah. He's like, I'm not that Luke.
And then, of course, listen to crap on the internet and other people being overly critical, and I kind of like, oh, yeah, shit, you're right. That does suck.
Anyway. So back to your defining moment, the moment when your hand got cut off. You do have both your hands, but I was just Star Wars relating.
Oh, I was taking that right.
Because all the Skywalkers lose a hand.
I was taking that right over to Evil Dead, and then I put on the chainsaw.
So I got my kid a tattoo for his birthday / Christmas, and I took him to a friend of mine that actually I'm recording with next week that did the tattoo, and my kid had the idea and the concept, and my artist friend put it together. And in the end, he builds a little cabin. So it's a tattoo of the state of Oregon right here. And he's got a little bitty cabin with a little bitty smoke. And he's like, so this is the Evil Dead cabin. My kid's like, what? I was like, dude, now we got to go home and watch fucking TV. We did explain it to him. He did get through it. He has not watched it yet, I don't think. But he does have an Evil Dead cabin.
And for that, I have to go groovy.
All right, so your defining moment.
Defining moment. I can't pick a defining moment. It's multiple... Yeah, it's a metric fuck-ton of small defining moments. Like we said, seeing certain movies. A bigger one is me going in the Army.
That's a big fucking deal. I mean, that's a life-changer.
Yeah.
You will never... Because... I don't know if all of the world's military is built this way, but I'm guessing it is. When you enter the military, they take you apart and make you a different person. That's what boot camp is.
Yeah. They try at different levels on different people.
So it absolutely redefines you.
Yeah.
Because you don't... There's no possible way, even if you leave before boot camp is over, there's no possible way for you to come out of that situation the same person that you went in.
Okay, so we'll put that on as a big one.
Did you ever shoot at people?
No.
Because we weren't in active conflict at that point in time.
I almost shot at that guy out in Eastern Oregon, but that's a whole other story.
That's...
He started it.
Yeah, the opening line to every fucking gun battle. He started it.
There, we can toss that down as a defining moment.
Okay.
It was Dad and I were out, quote, hunting. It was getting late in the day. We were bow hunting, but we're actually sitting in the truck drinking red beers, watching the sun go down.
With a sidearm and a bow.
No sidearms.
Oh, okay.
Just the bow. But then, this asshole came out of the woodwork and decided it was his land, and he started chasing us all the way back to town. I luckily had an AK in my trunk. It was back in the day. So I raced him back to town. And, or, weird, at the time I was a TC in the
guard. Johnny's been fed.
TC in the guard. And I was, like, snapping orders at Dad, like, he was my driver. Afterwards, I'm like, whoa, that was weird. But, yeah, I pointed the AK at him, and he went away.
Well, I would, too. More people in the Middle East and Southern America should learn that. Like, if you point an AK at somebody, leave.
Yeah.
Leave. Just fucking leave. Yeah.
But, yeah, there's a defining moment. But then, yeah, just the little things, like seeing certain movies.
How did that define you? What did that change in you?
I was already in military mode. I was in the guard at the time.
So you were actually post-military enlistment.
It was still,
you were doing your weekend warrior stuff.
Still doing the weekend warrior, but just the mindset, you're still in. People can make jokes, but especially if you're active and just then go and do that. But one defining thing that got me fueled up more for concealed carry, that I actually carry on me. Rather be judged by 12 than carried by 6.
God, that's an unfortunate state of the world, though, right?
It is.
It can't really be going back to the Wild West, right? But it kind of is.
There's a lot of mindsets going around right now. Because, okay, I grew up, we didn't even have handguns in the house. We were just hunting rifles. Hunting rifles and shotguns.
Well, you had tools.
Yeah.
You didn't have guns, you had tools.
Yeah, and the really nifty ones, and there was, it's not like the warship, but it's a very nice gun, but yeah, it's a tool. Yeah. It's a fishing pole.
Mm-hmm. But you can't reel in.
Yeah, and
there's no getting your bullet back, unfortunately.
Yeah, my gun hobby, it started getting interest in high school, and obviously it grew from there. One of the things that got me in the Army. But, yeah, just somewhere. And even the mindset back then, yes, there was people that had the handguns, but I didn't grow up with that. The first handgun I ever shot was a 30-30. One of the
30-30 handgun?
Yeah, it was the Thompson Contenders. It's like a pistol, but it's single shot.
Yeah. All right, yeah. For those who are not gun educated, 30-30 is that like slap action Western cowboy gun.
It'd kick them like mule.
Yeah.
But yeah, and that was like, yeah, I was like, boom, and my hands were up here. But yeah, just little for the defining moment. There's, Army, college. I'm sure that defined some things. Moments in bars. Listening to certain idiots define me and push me the other way. And I think with all of us, there are big defining moments. But what makes us who we are is just a shit ton of little ones. So, yeah, I guess for defining moments, let's go with Army, maybe college.
Well, similar systems. They're both built to rebuild you.
And obviously more recently, loss of my parents.
There's that word lost again. Didn't fucking misplace them like your keys, man.
Yeah, it's like, no, I know right where they're at. They're on my dresser at home. I still have their ashes.
Both of them are on your dresser?
Yeah. Yeah, it's...
Is that hard to wake up to?
No. Not for me. Everybody's different. I'm understanding
I'm lucky. I still have both my parents. Yeah.
But as far as the whole keeping ashes around and... But like when we lost Mom, what her wishes were was cremated, buried in the Dells. Because we consider the Dells home. Dad, we went up right after losing her, there it is, went up, and he wasn't ready. And he'd ask me periodically if I thought it was weird, if I had a problem with Mom pretty much being there with him. No.
She slept next to you her whole life. Why would she not do it now?
Yeah. And that's what I said. It was, I'm sure being there with you, she's fine. And then, he never got around. We never got around to... burying her. And that's, even saying that's kind of a hard edge to it. And then Dad, he just said cremated. He didn't say anything specific, so I'm I'm just going to have them. I'm going to buy a plant and the Bells. Have them both in there. Along with Mickey, dog we had.
You're not going to spread them someplace that they enjoyed?
Spread? No.
I only ask because that's the traditional
A lot of people
action
spread,
with ashes. Yeah.
But it's mom said specifically, cremated and buried in the Dells. Or I might get one of the mausoleum jobbers above ground.
A memorial stone or something like that. Yeah.
You know, like at the, when we talked to the Catholic church up there, because mom was Catholic, we can start going on sidetracks about religion.
What? No,
back up. Well, just to correct that, yeah, I'm a product of a mixed marriage, Catholic and Lutheran, in 66.
Lutheran is Catholic light. I've said that a number of times, man. It's like diet Catholic. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I guess the story I got from Dad.
Actually, I think that came up in Tony's episode. He happens to be here.
But Dad's favorite. He's like, yeah, when we got married, they kept telling us one of us had to convert or we're going to be fighting about religion all the time. And Dad's words, that's the one fucking thing we never fought about.
That's kind of glorious, though, right?
Yeah, it's, I came along, Dad's like, you want to raise him Catholic? Mom says yes.
Were you baptized?
Oh, yeah.
Which one? Or both?
Just Catholic. That's, it'll be
because it covers
the
them all. Because
the punchline of the story was, Dad asked Mom if she wanted to raise me Catholic, and she's like, yes. Do you want to send him to Catholic school? Mom says, fuck no.
Those Catholic response ever, fuck no.
Granted, it was in the 60s. It might have been hell no, but I can't. I
whatever. Can't hell no does kind of make it even funnier.
Yes. So, yeah, I was raised Catholic, confirmed. But then also, Jay and I were joking about this. That's one of the places I kind of met him, that we were...
Churching together?
Yeah, we were raised very similar in that, like, in the Catholic Church. Moms would take us to church. Dads would stay home. So, yeah.
Because Dad was a Lutheran.
And the same thing. I don't know if Jay's dad had religion. He was a hardcore, quick Catholic, or deathbed conversion.
Really?
But, yeah. I think he went through all the rites and everything in like 2-3 weeks. But, yeah, so as soon as Jay and I turned 18, we were like, okay, adults don't have to go to, or adult men don't go to church. So we had those role models, so.
No, because they're working the field.
Or watching football, or building something, or going fishing.
Well, fishing for religion. Not to quote Arrested Development, but...
Me and Mom would go to church, Dad would go, hey, look, walleye.
Pike. Now we're Inquisition.
Yep.
All right, last question. I'll let you off with your vagaries of your defining moment.
Yeah.
I think you covered them.
Yeah, I think the big ones, like
seriously,
Army.
The military and college and parents dying, I think those are pretty good ones.
Yeah, and just the era that I grew up in and then a whole bunch of little shit.
So last question. What makes you similar to other people?
Genetics.
Not an uncommon answer. Philosophically.
That at the core, we're trying to find happiness, go through life. Theoretically, we're just trying to find our way, go through our ride on this mud ball. I like to think most people are just looking for happiness and avoiding drama, but then watching some of the fuckery that goes on. Some people have definite different versions of happiness.
They're still striving for the same thing, though. I mean, they're striving for happiness.
But they're dragging everybody else down.
Well, it's their way. They're still shooting for the best that they can get. That's my hope for humanity.
In their perverted, twisted view, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, Hitler did think and I've said this before, and I know it's an unpopular sentiment, but Hitler did think he was making the world better.
Mm-hmm.
We all agree that he was not.
Valid.
Pregnant pause.
Yeah. Yeah, because I don't know where to go after that.
Well, I can take us. So there's a time travel question I got. Like, we kind of all agree that when we invent time travel, which clearly has not happened because nobody showed up today. Exactly. that we would go back in history and we would try and cure the Hitler situation. And so if you travel back in time, when do you cure the Hitler situation? Like, do you try and re-educate him as a youth? Do you try to kill him as a teen? I mean, like, how do you...
You don't.
You're right.
The butterfly
effect.
If you go back and do that, it changes everything that happens afterwards.
Butterfly flaps its wings and everything is different. And we aren't discussing cultural appropriation because Hitler didn't happen.
Yeah, and or you go back and you try and kill Hitler, and it gets woven into the time thing that whatever trauma that you inflicted on him is what set him off to on his game.
Really wonder what started him.
There's so many theories.
Yeah, well, let's go back to what makes you similar to other people and less about Hitler.
Let's drop the Hitler thing. Yeah, for the similar thing, I'm just some dipshit. I've got my hobbies. Just trying to go through life happy.
Generally not trying to hurt anybody while doing so.
Yeah. Yeah, not consciously trying to hurt anybody.
Consciously trying not to hurt anybody.
That's what I said, right?
No, you said not consciously trying to hurt anybody.
It's
semantics, but I'm consciously not trying to hurt anybody.
Yes, I was just making sure that I didn't totally say it backwards.
No, I'm with you, man.
That I'm not consciously trying to let them live.
It may have taken me a couple of years to learn that your first name was Chris, but I do know who you are now.
Yeah, Army roommate, trackmate, he was looking at my duffel bag one time, and he's like, "Oh, man, you're too unique to have a normal first name. Your first name is Box, and your last name is Rude."
You know what? Yeah, I think that right there is a podcast, and we're leaving it alone. And so I'm going to say thank you very much and close out on that one, because your first name is Box, and your last name is Rude. Thank you so much for doing this with me.
My pleasure. It was actually pretty damn fun.
It is. It's super fun. And
especially with me being so damn mic shy.
We're not mic shy. We're just sitting here in front of a table in the woods, dude. We're just having the same conversation we would have had over coffee anyway.
And
we're just directing it.
About a half pot.
Yeah. Thank you. Will you come back for my... I got a second set of questions. Will you come back for those when I start doing those?
Yes.
Thank you.
Bye, people.